Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go live to your calls in just a few moments. Remember, as always, the number to dial to get your question answered live on air, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and on the World Wide Web, it is equip.org. Resource consultants also standing by via the telephone. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A quick note that I'm going to be speaking at Bethlehem Church in Gastonia, North Carolina. That's this coming Sunday, June 2nd, so it's in the very near future. I'll be speaking at both morning worship services and then an evening conference in which I'll not only speak but also answer questions live. Again, all of that happening at Bethlehem Church in Gastonia. If you want further information, just go to equip.org on the World Wide Web. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, Richard. He's listening in Atlanta, Georgia, on the World Wide Web. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Good talking to you. I have a question about Revelation 19. After I read Apocalypse Code, you know, my whole perspective kind of changed on end times because I wasn't real comfortable with, you know, what I'd learned before. But I really hadn't gone back and read Revelation 19, and which I'd always kind of thought, you know, was all end times. But I'm seeing some things in here that are making me question that. Several places in here, but specifically in the section called The Coming of Christ, which is verses 11 through 19. Talks about the coming of Christ, but then in verse 19 it says, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth. So the beast being Nero, that points back to first century. So is this a coming of Christ and judgment in the same way as it was in Matthew 24?
Yeah, there's no question whatsoever that this is a coming of Christ in judgment with, of course, pretends the ultimate coming of Jesus Christ. There's going to be an ultimate day of the Lord in which God puts all things to right. But this is definitively a judgment not only on the beast, which embraces not only an individual but an empire that calls out for Caesar to be worshipped in place of Christ, but also a woman who rides a beast. So Israel and the true saints of God are called to rejoice in the fact that the words of Jesus Christ are now coming to pass. His judgment against Jerusalem and the temple are, in fact, being fulfilled, demonstrating that Messiah was who Messiah said he was, the one who not only spoke and the universe leapt into existence and knit us together in our mother's womb, but the one who knew what would happen within a generation. The ultimate would take place. The very place that gave the Jews, their sociological and spiritual identity would be utterly destroyed. Now, all of this, of course, is contextualized. It's contextualized by what goes on in the prologue to the book, where we have Jesus Christ himself making clear that the time was soon, or the time was near, or John talking to his readers about the fact that with wisdom and understanding, they would be able to identify the number of the beast and the number of his name. So yes, this is a first century judgment, which is a fulfillment of the words of Jesus Christ that this generation would certainly not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And I've said this before, skeptics and infidels look at the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, and of course, Revelation is but an expanded version of the Olivet Discourse, but these skeptics and infidels look at the words of Jesus and say he is thereby declared to be a false prophet, for the stars did not fall from the sky, the sun did not turn black as sackcloth, and therefore Jesus' words were false prophecies. Thus, he cannot be Messiah. What they fail to recognize is that Jesus uses the very words of the Old Testament prophets, and he now applies them to the destruction that is going to come to Jerusalem. So the words of the prophets with respect to destruction of Old Testament cities and empires now applies to the people of God, who did the very thing they were called not to do. They prostituted themselves with the nations as opposed to being a light to the nations. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Jonathan, Silver Spring, Maryland, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First, I just want to tell you thank you so much for everything that you do. I've had the opportunity to talk to you before once or twice, and at that time, I also told you that your service that you provide on the radio single-handedly brought me out of growing up in the Watchtower organization.
Wow.
So thank you so much.
Oh, bless you, Jonathan.
So my question was, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day about whether or not Adam and Eve are actually saved. And I know that you don't like to speak when the Bible is silent. I was just wondering what your opinion on that was, because we never really got a confession from them to the Father. We never got any kind of apology or even God forgiving them. They sort of drop off the face of the earth after they get kicked out of the garden. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, well, of course, they don't drop off the face of the earth because they live many, many years, and they bring into existence whole multitudes of people through their lineage. So they're those who follow the edict of God to be fruitful and multiply, and that is precisely what they did. And you're right, the Bible's largely silent on the subject, although every indication we do have in both Old and New Testament is that God continued his work through Adam and Eve, and through Adam and Eve we have a second Adam who did what the first Adam could not do. So there's nothing in the whole of Scripture that we could point to definitively to say that Adam and Eve were not saved, and I think that everything we do read in Scripture points in the opposite direction, that we will see the first Adam in a restored paradise.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was on the side that I thought they were saved when I was having this friendly conversation or debate with a friend of mine. And I was, the only thing that I could think of is that there was just the one line after, I think it's Cain, after Cain is born, Seth, because Cain had killed Abel and then they had Seth. And I think that's the last time we ever hear of Adam and Eve says, God has blessed me with another son or something along those lines.
Yes.
And I thought, well, if she's still attributing great things, blessings to God, they must still, you know, be on good terms. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And what's great about the book of Genesis is immediately you have the proto-evangel. So you have the fall, and then you have a hint at the restoration. So Eve was deceived, and as a result, there's a fall. But through Eve, there comes another woman, and she conceives and she bears the second Adam, through which the restoration takes place and through which the works of the devil are utterly discarded and destroyed.
That's great. Well, thank you very much. And like I said at the beginning, thank you again for everything that you've done. I as a witness years and years and years ago, I came across your radio program, and I was so paranoid for even listening to it because I thought that I was displeasing Jehovah listening to something that wasn't of the Watchtower Society, and I am so glad I kept listening.
Well, bless you, Jonathan. To hear testimonies like this, you can't know what that means to me. Ultimately, it not only means a lot to me personally, but I think to everybody listening in, because those that make this radio broadcast a reality see abundant, abiding fruit, and now a direct example of that in your life.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's all thanks to you and everybody that researches for you at CRI. So God bless you and keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Jonathan. God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nicole in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on KLCV. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I'm glad. I appreciate you taking my call. And I do also want to say I do truly appreciate your ministry. I happened to come across your ministry over the radio by accident. About last year, and have been listening to you ever since, and it's just been so grateful to find somebody who's actually able to discern the Bible in a way that I can understand. I grew up in the Catholic faith, completely blinded with the rituals and all those things. No, you can't turn it up. Don't. So my question is, I would like to know exactly how is a person saved? Because I've gotten a lot of different answers. Like, you just say the repentance prayer and you're saved, but then I've also figured out that when you say the repentance prayer, it's not just that. Like, you have to constantly be asking God to forgive you for sins, because I noticed that just because I said that doesn't mean I'm specifically saved, because the very next day I'm sinning again on something else or something else, and then they're like, well, you have to get baptized. Like, my dad says, you know, you don't have to worry as long as you're baptized, and I'm like, no, that's not what I've been finding out. So I'd like to know from you, exactly, do you say the repentance prayer with a true repentance and then you get baptized, or what exactly how do you get saved?
Yeah, remember, Nicole, there's no magic in the words. Ultimately, it is the intent of your heart that God looks at. So you can have someone like Judas, who said all the right things, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then the Lord says to him, as it were, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. So it's not about, again, the words that we say, but it is about the intent of our heart. And Nicole, what this entails is very simple. The gospel is so simple that a child can understand it. It's deep enough for a theologian to drown in as well. But simple in the sense that we realize that we are sinners. And I think in the quietness of our own room, when we're alone with our thoughts, we recognize the absolute validity of the fact that we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. So we recognize that we're sinners, and then we repent of our sin. And what that means is that we have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will. We turn, and then we move in a different direction. We want to do it God's way rather than doing it our own way. We, as it were, respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit and say, I want intimacy with you, and sin is a break in that intimacy. And then we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life, recognizing that now we have His righteousness laid to our account and our sin covered by His righteousness, paid for in full by His sacrifice on the cross. So we realize that we're sinners, repent of our sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, when we do, that does not mean that we are suddenly perfect. It means that we are justified. We've received His righteousness, but we continue to be sinners. And that's why we must continuously ask for forgiveness for our sin. Because when we do not, we break our communion with God, and we want to enhance our communion with God. So we are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. But then we're set apart through baptism. Baptism doesn't save us, but it is a sign and a seal that we are buried to our old lives and raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. Through baptism, we say, I now visibly identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I take up my cross, I follow him, and I recognize that he not only saves me in the life to come, but far beyond that, he gives my life in the present meaning, purpose, and fulfillment, which is to say that he came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. So again, Nicole, you're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, and then you are set apart in baptism. Thanks, by the way, for your very kind remarks. We are coming up to the station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We'll be back live in just a few moments. Here's Hank again with a special offer.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text, verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast after this. In the 1800s, John Nelson Darby proclaimed his new interpretation of the Bible's teaching on the end of the world and gained millions of followers. But few today realize that his misinterpretation of Scripture leads to a nightmarish end-time scenario for the Jews that would dwarf the horrors of the Holocaust. In their novel Fuse of Armageddon, Hank and co-author Sigmund Brouwer explore Darby's vision through the eyes of hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn as he attempts to unravel a sinister plot. Through the power of story, you'll gain insight into the Middle East crisis and be challenged to ask yourself if what we've been told is the only godly response may not be in God's will at all. Fuse of Armageddon is our thank you when you support more CRI broadcasts and resources with a gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. At CRI, our goal is to teach more people to understand God's Word more clearly so they can follow Christ more closely. And you are a vital part of that because every Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resource is entirely listener-supported. That's why we're asking for your gift of support today to help CRI equip you and countless other people for a more authentic Christian life. As our thank you, we want to send you David Platt's Follow Me, one of Hank's favorite books on discipleship. Follow Me is a life-changing look at why we can be doing all the right things at church but still feel something missing, and how you can find deeper fulfillment in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift and request your copy of Follow Me.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Did you know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast you're listening to right now is made possible by the support of truth seekers like you? That means your support truly matters. And when you give today, we'll show our appreciation with a copy of Hank's fast-paced novel, Fuse of Armageddon, an adventure story about the terrifying real-world consequences of an end-times view held by millions of Christians today. To give your gift and request Fuse of Armageddon, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy, and a reminder that this ministry is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we simply cannot do what we do. If you're listening to the broadcast yesterday, you heard Amir call from Amman, Jordan, with a very penetrating question, because in his culture, he cannot openly proselytize or communicate the gospel without severe penalty. But the point ultimately is that he is receiving his nourishment, daily bread, by listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And those that support the broadcast make that not only potentially a reality, but a very real possibility. For your support of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute all this month, I'm sending you Fuse of Armageddon as my way of not only equipping you, but my way of saying thank you. You can get your copy when you give your gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org, when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, when you talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines, Angus in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Angus.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, hi. I'll be honest with you. I've listened to your program quite a few times because it's on the way to work. And I heard you cut up guys that I like quite a bit. And I've often wondered why you're cutting these people up. And today, one of the guys was Joseph Prince. And what you were talking to that caller with, I have actually had that same problem with how do you re-Christianize yourself if you're caught in some sin, right? So I know that you have to confess your sins, but I wasn't sure if that actually got me like back in the good book, so to speak. And the other guy I've heard you talk about is Andrew Womack. I listened to both these guys quite a bit, and what you said today, Joseph Prince, definitely I agree with. He shouldn't be preaching that. If he's preaching that you are not penalized if you re-sin. So I guess my question is, I've heard in the past that you've talked about you don't lose your Christianese. You don't lose being a Christian and then by saying something you don't reacquire Christianity. So my question is, how does this not fall under that? Like you said before, you're not getting saved twice.
Yeah. Well, Angus, I appreciate your concern and your question. It's well worded, it's important, and I don't think that it is right for anyone to cut up another person, as you put it. I think what's important, however, is to recognize that with teaching, there is a stricter judgment. And there are all kinds of men today who are setting themselves up as teachers of the Word of God, who are in fact prostituting the basic message of Scripture. In other words, in the process of their preaching, they're confusing, contradicting essential Christian doctrine. And this is precisely the case with men like Joseph Prince. And therefore, it's important for us to point out the errors. And this is noteworthy on a lot of different levels. First of all, he's teaching a prostituted sense of what faith is. He says faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and in essence is teaching that through the force of faith, one creates their own reality. And he does that by twisting Scripture to buttress the claim that God guarantees unlimited health and wealth this side of eternity. And this is not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is not that Christianity gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life. Rather, it gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the resurrection and the hope of resurrection, which is ensured by our Lord's being raised from the dead. Prince also teaches an antinomianism, or an against the law. He fails to recognize that the law does have a purpose in the life of the believer today. It serves as an ethical rule for life. And therefore, we cannot simply discard the law. We have to recognize that the uses of the law are multifaceted. And one of those uses, again, is a guide for ethical life of the believer. Then to the point that you raise, and that is this notion that you do not have to confess your sins over and over again. This is in strict contradiction of what the Bible is telling us. The Bible is telling us that when we receive Jesus Christ, we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we are as yet snow-covered dung, which is to say, we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ and yet sinners. And because we are yet sinners struggling with a sin nature, we are instructed in Scripture not only by James, but by John and the rest of the apostles to daily confess our sin. They denote a continuous action, recognizing that when we do, He's faithful and just, He will forgive us of our sins, and He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So again, He's giving instruction to His followers, which is not in concert with Scripture, but in direct conflict with the Holy Word of God. And thus, because He's doing this publicly, when people ask me questions about it, I think it's important for me to give them a straightforward answer rather than a politically correct answer. You know, a number of years ago, we had what was called the Tylenol scare. And Tylenol was on supermarket shelves and drugstore shelves, and it was laced with cyanide. And of course, the newscasters got on the news programs and said, watch out for Tylenol. If you have any of it, don't take it. It's laced with cyanide, and it will kill you. And I think there's a spiritual cyanide that is being communicated in the Christian church today over the public airwaves, and it has to be directly addressed. And if I'm simply going to be politically correct or popular and follow the prosperity message, then I'm not doing anybody any service. But I do very much appreciate your call and your concern, and do know that we are governed by the mantra, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Malia. She's listening in Kirkwood, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Malia.
Yes, hi. I have a question about Revelation chapter 17,
yeah.
Beast and the woman.
Yeah.
I wonder in woman represent what she exactly represents.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing, if you read the book of Revelation, is you really read something that you've heard over and over again throughout the Old Testament. Israel, called to be a light to the nation, now prostitutes herself with the nation. And as a result, she's driven out of the land. First it was the northern kingdom, and later it was the southern kingdom. But the prophets talk about the prostitution of Israel, called to be a light to the nation, in very graphic terms. And now in John's expanded Olivet discourse, the book of Revelation, he uses that same imagery of a harlot, a prostitute, a great prostitute is riding a beast. The beast, of course, is Rome, which is commanding the Christians to say, not Christ is Lord, but Caesar is Lord. And the woman is working in concert with the beast. She's not standing up as a light to the beast, but she's in bed with the beast. And this is the imagery from the Old Testament that John is drawing upon in Revelation chapter 17. So the woman who rides the beast is indicative of apostate Israel, who is aligning herself with the forces of evil that array themselves against true Israel or the people of God.
Yeah, thank you very much. Chapter 11, also Revelation. I want to know exactly what is that to represent. Two people, it's kind of hard to understand.
Yeah, ultimately what's going on here is we have a picture of Moses and Elijah. It's not as though Moses and Elijah come back to life and come back to earth, but they are representative of the law and the prophets who testify as two witnesses against apostate Israel. Of course, in the Old Testament, it was always necessary for two witnesses to stand up and testify. And so now we have the ultimate lawgiver, Moses, and the quintessential prophet, Elijah, that testify against the apostate Israel who is now in bed with the beast.
Yeah. Also, chapter 12, what kind of woman is that, like a sun and all that on her head?
Yeah. Again, all of this imagery is drawn from the thesaurus of the Old Testament, which is to say what we have in the book of Revelation is 404 verses, 278 of these verses come from Old Testament passages, and therefore we have no hope of fully understanding what is going on in the book of Revelation, unless we know the Old Testament. Now, in some cases, the metaphors that are used are explained, which is to say, when John talks about golden bowls full of incense, he explains to us what that means. He says, those are the righteous prayers of the saints. Or when he talks about the golden lampstands, he says, these are the churches. Or if he talks about fine linen, bright and clean, he says, these are the righteous acts of the saints. So in some cases, he explains the metaphors, but in other cases, what he does is recognize that you know the Old Testament, and as in chapter 12, there's a recapitulation going on of what happened in the history of humanity from the fall to the redemption. So again, I've written about that in some detail, Malia, in my book, The Apocalypse Code, to kind of give you an idea of what's going on and how to rightly divide the word of truth, particularly when it comes to Book of Revelation. But again, the code breaker for the apocalypse, and that's why I call it the Apocalypse Code, is the rest of the Bible. And this, of course, was the great analogy of faith that the Reformers talked about. The antidote to not rightly dividing the word of truth is to quote Scripture and read it in light of Scripture. And then when we do that, we start to understand the meaning of Scripture. One of the things that the Reformers were so concerned about is that a floodgate of iniquity would be opened up because people didn't know the Word of God, didn't know how to rightly interpret the Word of God, and therefore they said the antidote to that is to learn to read Scripture in light of Scripture. And this is particularly true with respect to the book of Revelation. Be right back in just a moment with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment.
In the 1800s, John Nelson Darby proclaimed his new interpretation of the Bible's teaching on the end of the world and gained millions of followers. But few today realize that his misinterpretation of Scripture leads to a nightmarish end-time scenario for the Jews that would dwarf the horrors of the Holocaust. In their novel Fuse of Armageddon, Hank and co-author Sigmund Brauer explore Darby's vision through the eyes of hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn as he attempts to unravel a sinister plot. Through the power of story, you'll gain insight into the Middle East crisis and be challenged to ask yourself if what we've been told is the only godly response may not be in God's will at all. Fuse of Armageddon is our thank you when you support more CRI broadcasts and resources with a gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
At CRI, our goal is to teach more people to understand God's Word more clearly so they can follow Christ more closely. And you are a vital part of that because every Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resource is entirely listener-supported. That's why we're asking for your gift of support today to help CRI equip you and countless other people for a more authentic Christian life. As our thank you, we want to send you David Platt's Follow Me, one of Hank's favorite books on discipleship. Follow Me is a life-changing look at why we can be doing all the right things at church but still feel something missing, and how you can find deeper fulfillment in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift and request your copy of Follow Me. Wondering, what does the Bible have to say about that? CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are here to help. But each month we depend entirely on God's provision through friends like you to make it happen. Your gift of ministry support today will help produce more of the broadcast and resources you trust. When you give, we'll thank you with a copy of Hank's novel, Fuse of Armageddon, a tale of intrigue, adventure, and surprising answers about the end times. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to order your copy now. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Dan. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri, KCCV. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I've heard your show a few times, and just to give you some quick background, I'm a new Seventh-day Adventist, and you probably, of course, know that we're most similar to Messianic Jews, except for with a lot less of the ceremonial aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to you, normally I hear preachers like Doug Batchelor or Ivor Myers who continue to astound me. Again, very new to this. I was actually raised Catholic, which mm-hmm. was amazingly confusing,
and
I've come back around. And I've never heard anybody speak like you do that is not a Messianic Jew or a Seventh-day Adventist. And so because you speak so accurately or verse upon verse for all of your technical knowledge, I wanted to know what your opinion was of the Sabbath, the fourth commandment keeping, versus Moses' law of ordinances.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important for us to keep the fourth commandment. But we recognize that in keeping the fourth commandment, what we're recognizing is that there's a shifting emphasis. And this is a great shift that takes place not only in Genesis, where there's a celebration of God's prowess in creation, and then Exodus, his deliverance from oppression in Egypt, but we see in the New Testament a shift of emphasis to a celebration of the rest we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why the emphasis changes. It's still the same law, which is to say that you work for 6 days and you rest on the seventh day in recognition that we have our Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ, who delivers us from sin and death in the grave. And therefore, for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. And that's why Paul says, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here Paul gives us a descending order from annual to monthly to weekly celebrations, demonstrating that he has a weekly Sabbath in view. And I think, again, what is ultimately being communicated here is that we have our Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the substance that fulfills all the types and shadows of the Old Testament. Therefore, to go back to type and shadow when the substance has come is the ultimate abomination, what Hebrews speaks of when it talks about trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So when we get together on the first day of the week, it is in honor of the fact that in Christ we have our Sabbath rest, not might have or still are awaiting it, but we now have our Sabbath rest. And so the emphasis shifts to the first day of the week, but the cycle remains the same.
Oh, okay, so when Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and then God's commandments being laws that will not pass away or change, and before heaven or earth passes away, what laws was he referring to that are not changing if not the Ten Commandments?
Well, remember that the law has different purposes, and I alluded to this earlier on in the broadcast. It's a schoolmaster that drives us to Jesus Christ, but it is also a standard for ethical living. So the Ten Commandments are relevant to us today. But nonetheless, it's so important to recognize that we should not be slavishly bound to Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws, because if we are, then the Sabbath becomes onerous for us, because the letter of the law with respect to the Sabbath is that if you do any work on the Sabbath, you have to be put to death, Exodus 35. But the Apostle Paul explains Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So the Sabbath was a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Jesus Christ, and therefore we are told once again in the New Testament that it is in Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Kim in Maryland, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for taking my call, and thank you also for providing such a powerful, powerful ministry. I am calling regarding scripture memorization. And I listened to you speak about memorizing chapters and books, and I struggle terribly with just verse, and I'm wondering if you have any guidance that can help me out, or is it just a block that I'm not going to be able to get it, or
No, I don't think it's a block that you're not going to be able to get it. In fact, I think that the whole of Scripture lets us know that the Bible is actually given to us in such a way that it is inherently memorable. If you look at the very early stages of human history, we see them outlined by Moses in Genesis in such a way that you can remember them with the 10 fingers of your hands. The way Jesus presents the Beatitudes is in an inherently memorable fashion. So the Bible was actually given in an oral culture, was meant to be not only written down, but written down upon the tablet of your heart, as it were. As Jesus said, let these words sink into your ears. So I think that everyone can memorize, but it is a lost art in our culture. And because it's a lost art, so many people think, well, I just can't do it. But the reality is you can. Now, if you look at someone who has memorized a tremendous amount of Scripture, you say, wow, I can't do what that person does, and therefore you might give up. But what you ought to do rather than give up is set realistic goals. I often say, he who aims at nothing invariably hits it. So you have to set realistic goals. And those goals have to become attainable goals. If your goals are unrealistic, you will undoubtedly become discouraged and give up. So if you say, you know, I'm going to memorize a chapter a day, believe me, you're going to get discouraged and ultimately you're going to give up. Rather, what you want to do is set these goals that are attainable. Maybe you say, I'm going to memorize a verse a month. Well, you say, that's not very much. I can do that very easily. Well, yeah, just memorize that verse and go over and over again for that month, and then the next month do another. At the end of the year, you'll have memorized 12 verses, which is probably more than you did last year. That's called setting an attainable goal. Now, once you can attain that goal, instead of it being an unfinished monument in your life, it becomes a light in your life, and you're saying, I did that. In fact, I can do more than that. And pretty soon, you're going to be memorizing a verse a week. And now you're in the process of doing the very thing that the Bible calls us to do. Also, I would say this from a practical standpoint, to memorize with a family member or a friend. This is so important because then there's an accountability structure which really helps you in the process, like exercising with someone. Sometimes hard to do it on your own, but to do it with someone else makes it not only a joy, but gives you an accountability structure. And then I also use normally unproductive time to review what I have memorized. So I could be standing in a line. I could be waiting in the airport. I could be walking on the treadmill. There are 1,000 different applications a week, literally, in which you can review verses that you've already memorized, because you want to take these verses from the short term to the long term memory, and that's done by repetition and review. People used to laugh at me because I used to have a page out of the Bible. I had one Bible that I'd pull apart. I'd pull it apart page by page, stick the page in my wallet. I'd be standing in a line somewhere at a grocery line, and I'm kind of impatient anyway, and I'd pull that out, and I'd start reviewing or memorizing, and pretty soon I'd be at the cashier, and I'd think, wow, that went way too fast. So it really changes your perspective. But again, I think the real key is to set small, attainable goals to begin with.
Well, great. That's some great advice. That definitely gives me a point to start from, which I did not have. So I appreciate that so much. Thank you, Hank.
Hey, you're welcome. Let me say one other thing to you, Kim, before you go. At the very beginning of this year, there's a book that I recommended, and it was called The Joshua Code, talking about the words of Joshua himself, which are so instructive with respect to memorization. But the Joshua Code was written by a friend of mine, and that book written by O.S. Hawkins contains 52 scripture verses every believer should know, and I think that this is one of those places where you can start the process of scripture memorization. I like what he does in the book. He not only gives you the verse to memorize, but he gives you the meaning of the verse. So he explains what the verse has to do with, so you not only memorize it, but you can meditate upon its meaning.
Okay. That's sounds great. I guess I'll have to go online and get one of those.
Yeah, you can get it at equip.org. Again, it's called the Joshua Code.
The Joshua Code. Okay, yeah. Terrific. Thank you. Thank you again, Hank, and I so appreciate your ministry.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate your call. You know what? I want to take another call, but I don't know that I'm going to have time to squeeze in another call right now. But what I will do is stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. We'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you are hanging on, and many of you are, I'll get to you. And if you're dialing in, you can call this number for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265, and I'll try to get to your calls as well. So again, you can call that number, 888-ASK-HANK, from now on through the next hour, and I will be continuously taking those calls, answering them, and I'll play my answers to your questions on a future date when I'm traveling. Again, that number, 888-ASK-HANK. As we close out the broadcast today, a quick plug for the Christian Research Journal. If you haven't seen the latest journal, it is an award-winning magazine you don't want to be without. It is beautiful in terms of its presentation. It is an elegant piece and has won many awards because of the beauty of its presentation. But that beauty is not just cavalier or capricious. It's there for a reason. It is to augment the content, and the content is rich indeed. The Christian Research Journal is a subscription magazine no Christian home should be without. You can get your copy online at equip.org. And while you're there, you can give in a safe, secure fashion. We need many of you to do that. We are, I don't want to say too seriously behind, but it is a bit of an alarm to me right now. So whatever you could do would be deeply appreciated and used for kingdom purposes. You can give again in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I'll be here for the next hour answering questions.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has deepened your understanding of the Scriptures and equipped you to better defend your faith. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
At CRI, our goal is to teach more people to understand God's Word more clearly so they can follow Christ more closely. And you are a vital part of that, because every Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resource is entirely listener-supported. That's why we're asking for your gift of support today to help CRI equip you and countless other people for a more authentic Christian life. As our thank you, we want to send you David Platt's Follow Me, one of Hank's favorite books on discipleship. Follow Me is a life-changing look at why we can be doing all the right things at church but still feel something missing, and how you can find deeper fulfillment in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift. and request your copy of Follow Me,